If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we're going to talk about mysteries. We're going to talk about mysteries. This is going to be mysterious. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, you're going to have to stick with me here on this one. I'm going to be moving pretty fast. There's a lot to cover. So get your pen and paper out and start writing the scriptures and go back and look at them yourself. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy or speak unto people the inspired thoughts of God." That's prophesying. When God gives you thoughts, you speak them unto people. That's prophesying. Okay, in various different ways. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So, when you're speaking prophecy to people, when you're talking to people, when you're speaking to people about what God has revealed to you, prophesying to them, when you're getting up and you're giving a talk in a church, you're prophesying because you're in expanding the inspired things of God which he's spoken to you. When you're moved upon in the Spirit in the church meeting to operate what is a prophecy, you're in real time. The Lord's giving you the words, you're speaking them out. He's giving you more words, you're speaking them out. He's giving you more words and you're speaking them out, and might go on for a minute, 2 minutes. That's prophesying. Okay, and a lot of people like that, especially my wife Donna, she operates like that. And I have to tell her what she said because she's so busy hearing the words from the Spirit in real time, speaking them out. She hasn't got time to go away and think about it. It just comes flowing out like a tap coming, water coming out of a faucet. And I'll have to explain to her or tell her what she said. She gets a sort of, sometimes she gets pictures in her head and a little story thing, and it comes, she starts speaking it out. She remembers the pictures, but she doesn't remember what she said. She moves very, very, very powerfully in prophetics. So it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him." Okay, howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay, so it says here in 3, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification." So he that speaks in English because he has received revelation, he speaks to edify the church. Okay, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification," or building up, "to exaltation," to comfort. Okay, so he speaks for edification, he exalts them, and he comforts them. That's what he does when he speaks in English to people in the church. The things that God has revealed to him, he speaks to edify people, to build them up, and to exhort them, exaltation, and comfort. Now you can go into the Greek and have a look at these things. There are three things for building up people. It says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church." Interesting in verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies." So you'd say, well, he just edifies. But it says, he edifies himself, "but he that prophesieth edifies the church." Paul just went and explained what happens when you prophesy. He speaks in verse 3, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exaltation, and comfort." Okay? And then it says in 4, "But he that prophesieth edifies the church." So when you prophesy, you speak unto men edification, exaltation, and comfort. And when you speak in tongues, you speak to yourself edification, exaltation, and comfort. Why is this? Because if you read in 4, the full verse in 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesieth edifies the church. So we're going to talk about speaking these mysteries to edify yourself. When you pray for long periods of time in tongues, you speak mysteries. Now these mysteries, the word mysteries in verse 2, it means the hidden things relegated to the spiritual realm of God, the kingdom of God, the workings of God, the way things are done, what scriptures actually mean, pulling scriptures out of the Bible and expanding them through the Spirit, receiving understanding of how things work in the body of Christ, understanding how scriptures come together into a holistic approach. These come through the Holy Spirit teaching you, because in John chapter 14 all the way to 17, the Gospel of John, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, which will come and guide you unto all truths and lead you unto all things and reveal all things unto you through the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? By building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It says in Jude verse 20, how it says here also, it says that you speak mysteries in the Spirit. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. I'm talking about speaking in tongues for edification, prayer language. Not talking about speaking in tongues with interpretation. You speak in tongues, then someone gives an interpretation of what you said. Okay, not an exact interpretation, not an exact replica of the words, but an interpretation. Okay, when you've got anyway, we won't go into that. The Lord's told me not to bother with that yet. Okay, we'll just go through and we'll have a look at what happened. You know, Paul said that he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. He spoke in tongues more than the Corinthian church, all of the people in there. That's a lot of speaking in tongues. And Paul had revelation knowledge. Peter spoke in 1 Peter. He said, the things Paul wrote about, some of us can't understand. They're too deep. Because Paul got revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. That's why the devil doesn't like people speaking in tongues. They'll start getting understanding about God. And they'll understand their position in the body of Christ and the power and the authority they have over the devil. And they will put him in his place. That's why speaking in tongues is such a powerful gift. You know, you can get people and say, look, don't have to be baptized, right? They won't fight you too much. Speaking in tongues, everybody wants to fight on it. Why? Because the spiritual realm is against it so much. The enemy does not want you to have communication with the Godhead. The communication that you have is revelation knowledge. God will give you revelation on the enemy's movements. You know, I'll be sitting in my on my lounge, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will tell me that you need to go and pray. So I'll go and pray. I'll start praying in tongues. I'll go into intercession, and I'll start praying in tongues. All of a sudden my tongue will change to a different type, a prayer language type of tongue, and I'll know the intercession is over. So I'll go, God will use me, he'll say, listen, I need to pray about this, something happening here, and I need, so who can I call? Ah, Tom, okay. So he calls me, and I say, yes, here I am. And I go and I pray. It might last for a minute to 4 minutes. Usually it's about 4 minutes, 3 minutes. That's all. And then I'll go back into normal speaking in tongues and I'll know that it's over and I can stop. Or I'll ask the Lord and he'll tell me what I was praying about. He'll tell me the situation. He won't tell me the actual words I spoke, but he'll tell me the reason I prayed. And I'll go into intercession. Now, I might be praying for maybe an hour or two in tongues, and then all of a sudden I'll start praying in intercession. It'll change. My tongue will change. The whole the whole praying of tongues will change. And the intent, because the Spirit's doing it, it will change. It's interesting. But if we go to Ephesians, we'll have a look at something here I want to show you in Ephesians. Everybody knows that Paul had massive revelations, and he wrote all the letters to the churches. I think it was 14 letters he wrote, general epistles to the churches, and they are jammed packed with deep, meaningful stuff. You can spend months just on one chapter. It's just so deep. He didn't get it from sitting around twiddling his thumbs. He got it from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He got it from praying in tongues, from the revelation knowledge that was given to him by praying in tongues. So we'll go through and we'll just have a look. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. Okay. I'll just shoot all over Ephesians. So if you've got your Bible out, you'll have to quickly move to where I am. Okay. 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 Chapter 3, verse 2, it says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you would, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I write afore in few words. So this letter that he was writing, and all the letters that he wrote to the churches, he wrote them by revelation, because he spoke in tongues. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I write afore in few words. That was an understatement. So he received mysteries. He received understanding, and he wrote them down. Now the interesting part is, when you start reading the Bible, the same Spirit that gave him revelation and he wrote them down, the same Spirit is inside you. And when you're praying, you are praying out the same things. What does this mean? What's this scripture mean? What's this mean? And the Holy Spirit will start revealing deep and meaningful stuff to you. It's quite interesting. And then if you go to verse 4, it says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So the Spirit revealed these revelations to him, and they're revealing the same revelations to you. If you go to, you flip the page in my Bible, if you go to chapter 3 still, and go to 16, it says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So you'll be strengthened, you'll be edified, built up, and encouraged by the Spirit in the inner man, because you pray in tongues, because you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then if you go to verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, if you start praying in tongues for extended periods of time, you will start to get revelation, and it will start changing your life. You will start to move. If you go to chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." This is interesting. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. Maybe you should sit down and think about that. The fellowship of the mystery. If you all pray in tongues, you're going to all fellowship in the mystery. If you all start praying in tongues, you're all going to fellowship in the mystery that was hid from mankind. And when you come up against somebody else who's been praying in tongues and is fellowshipping in the mystery, you will start to fellowship about the things that the Lord has revealed unto you, because you have fellowship. You know, you will have fellowship of the mystery. It says, It says here about putting the armor in chapter 6. It says about putting the armor on. It says, actually, if you go to verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," or armor. "Put on the whole armor," put on the armor, "the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles are the slanders, the false accusations, the opposing accusations of the devil. The wiles are the deceits, the crafty, the trickery, the methods, the lies, all of these things. If you go to Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know that if you speak in tongues, start praying in tongues, and you start fellowshipping in the mysteries, when people start telling you dumb doctrine, dumb things, you can say, "No, that's not right." You can go through and say, "All that stuff that I learned in my church, which was dumb and false, is wrong." Speaking in tongues will inoculate you against false religion, false teaching. Speaking in tongues will reveal the light and will reveal all the darkness, and you'll be able to reevaluate things. Okay, back to chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles, the deceits, the crafty trickeries of the devil, Diablo. He's the slanderer, the false accuser. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will outmaneuver the devil. He's done it so many times with me. The devil will set something up for me to fall in a pit, and the Holy Spirit will alert me to divert this way or pray because of this situation, and he'll divert it. Interesting. I had coffee with a pastor once, and he said to me, "You need to come under my covering." And I said, "No, my covering is Jesus Christ." And he said, no, no, you need to come under my covering. I said, no, I'm an evangelist and you're a pastor. Okay, we're equal. But we will note that actually evangelists come before pastors in the list of offices. But I wasn't pushing it. But he had the spirit of control big time. Anyway, I was really nice to him. And I went home, and then the next night, my wife and I, Donna and I, we're praying. And I got a headache in my head, on the right side of my head. Donna got one. I said, I've got a headache on the right side of my head. And she said, I've got one too. Straight away, the Holy Spirit alerted me and said, there's something wrong. No coincidence. Two headaches, praying in tongues. So we stood up and we asked the Lord. And the Lord told us right there and then, he said, witchcraft is being spoken over you now, right now. And but don't worry about it, because I'm looking after it. So we just started commanding things and breaking the witchcraft off. We went back to praying in tongues and the headaches went. That's interesting. So the next day, I'm talking to the pastor. And I dropped some food over at the church so that they could give it to the poor. And I was telling him what happened. And his whole personality totally changed. I wondered why. The Lord didn't alert me right there and then, because the Lord didn't want me to get hot under the collar. And actually, the Lord was saying, get out of there now, leave now, leave. And he wanted to have a confrontation with me. And I said, no, no, I don't want to do this. And so I kept trying to divert, well, I've got to go. And he wanted to argue with me. And I said, I don't mind having an argument. But the Lord was saying, don't argue, get out of there now. So I got out of there as best I could. And he tried his best to try and instigate some sort of verbal argument. So when I went home, as soon as I got home, the Lord said, you know that witchcraft that was spoken over you? He was the one that said that. So sometimes people who are spirit-filled, who don't do what we want them to do, we pray against them. That's witchcraft. The Lord's called every person. And if they're walking in the Spirit, the Bible says, don't judge another man's servant. So we have to be very careful. Now, if someone's in error, if they're walking in error with the scriptures, then you show them. But because you've got an agenda, you start speaking cursings against brothers and sisters, you better be very careful, because that is operating in the realm of witchcraft. The Bible says we're to pray that people get the revelation if they're walking wrong, not to cause them to fall. We're to walk in love, and we're to build up and to uphold, not to pull down and destroy. If we hand them over to God, he'll do that. He'll avenge us. Okay. I don't know why I got into that one. Okay. It says here, put on the whole armor of God. And it's interesting, if you go through the armor, the first part is girding up your loins with truth. We need to start our whole walk, our whole everything that we do, we need to walk in integrity. We need to walk with integrity, because the enemy will find a hole in our armor through that integrity. And we need to walk in truth. The Bible says it's the spirit of truth that's inside us. So if we arm ourselves with truth, the enemy has no place in us, because we walk with integrity. That is one of the things. And there's I'll give a talk on that about the integrity. It's our loins that are girded up. It's the thing, the loins are the place where we bear fruit. It's where we plant seed. So if we plant seeds of deceit, we're only going to cause ourselves big trouble. But it says here in verse 18, 17 to run into it, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, activates all of the armor of God. Praying in the Spirit, I'll say it again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, right, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's going into intercession as well. You know, if you put the armor on by praying in tongues, by praying in the Spirit, you put the armor on. By praying in the Spirit, the Lord says to you, fix this up. This is not truth. You're not walking in truth. You're not walking in integrity. Fix this up. You fix it up. By praying in tongues, the Lord says, you need to get out and preach the gospel a bit. Here, let's shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Praying in tongues, the Lord will cement your salvation. He will make sure that you are plugged in. By praying in tongues, when people put accusations or the enemy comes against you, he'll quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He'll get you to get down and start praying in tongues, and you'll divert the enemy's arrows. Now, by praying in tongues, the helmet of salvation, by praying in tongues, you'll start speaking the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You know, you might think I go on a lot about praying in tongues, but if we, I believe just as much in baptism, I believe just as much in walking in holiness, walking in grace, I believe just as much as preaching the gospel, doing everything else, the whole thing of Christ. But praying in tongues is a very, very important part in a Christian's life, and it seems to be the relocated to the back room. So we'll just leave that there, okay?
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.